Tickets for Ghost Note can be found at the Dakota website. Visit dakotacooks.com for more details.
KFAI is proud to present Twin Cities Trans Mutual Aid Night at the Cedar Cultural Center on Saturday, May 18th. Celebrating resistance in the forms of solidarity, love, and trans joy, the Cedar is honored to host Girls Night, benefiting Twin Cities Trans Mutual Aid. Featuring performances by Early Eyes, Anita Volvita, Cannabis Kiss, Kiri Nova, and Melon Arpas. Tickets for Twin Cities Trans Mutual Aid Night can be found at the Cedar Cultural Center website. Visit thecedar.org for more details.
Hello, Counter Stories listeners. We have been doing this show in various formats for 10 years. In those 10 years, it has always been the four of us, Lee Lee, Luz Maria Frias, Anthony Galloway, and Don Eubanks. In March of this year, Don passed away. He was our friend, our mentor, our family member, and he will be greatly missed. In the weeks to come, as we take time to grieve, mend, and reflect on Don's life and his immense impact throughout the state, we will be re-airing some of Don's favorite episodes and topics. Today, we are sharing an extended segment of our September 2023 Grab Bag episode, where the crew talks about one of Don's favorite topics, sports and Black athlete excellence.
This is Counter Stories, a podcast by people of color, for people of color, and everyone else. I'm Anthony Galloway, partner at the Dendros Group and pastor of St. Mark AME Church in Duluth, Minnesota.
I'm Luz Maria Frias, Deputy Attorney General with the state of Minnesota. Any opinions and statements I make are strictly my own and should not be associated with my employer.
I'm Don Eubanks, member of the Mille Lacs Band of Ojibwe Indians and associate of Dendros Group.
I'm Halili, owner of the Other Media Group, Counter Stories producer, and VP of Programming at Ampers.
I know one thing that rose to the top of my list, and Luz, you brought this up, that I thought it was powerful. It actually made it to our moment of Black joy, which we have every Sunday in our worship service. We have a moment of Black joy or a moment of history below the line. And to this year, or this past Sunday, we showed a clip of that final point that Coco Gauff made to win the U.S. Open. But we have a slurry of athletes, athlete wins that have happened right now involving athletes of color. So y'all, I know Coco Gauff wasn't the only one that had everybody cheering and shouting at their TV and calling their grandma and tossing a few back. So who are some of the other folks who were on your radar in terms of athletes, athlete wins?
You know, Anthony, when you mentioned Coco Gauff, I just can't help but to emphasize she's the youngest American to win the title, the U.S. Open, her first Grand Slam since Serena Williams in 1999, incredibly at age 19. And then what's so powerful about her words is she thanked her haters for adding gas to her fire. Her quote is, "I'm really burning so bright right now," right? So it is. It gave me so much joy to see how she and Sha'Carri Richardson, that I'll mention a little bit, and Simone Biles just completely pivoted how society, the media, and the naysayers were painting them, right? Going from this negativity to a complete positivity and owning that narrative that they're creating and not letting everyone else define who they are because of the negative comments. Sha'Carri Richardson, her quote is, "I'm not back, I'm better," right?
Hey, she just, there you go.
She just won the 2023 World Champions in 100 meter. She ran 10.65 seconds, beating her own record from 4 years ago when she was a freshman in college by 10/100 of a second, which is amazing. And of course, this is coming off of her being ineligible to compete in the last Olympics because she had tested positive for cannabis. She also won just recently gold as part of the 4x100 sprinters as well, right? So here you've got someone who society had really blacklisted, for lack of a better word, and she completely just redefined it, right? And redefined the narrative in the process as well. And then the third athlete is Simone Biles, the most decorated gymnast in the world of gymnastics, hands down, right? 25 world championships medals. Last month, she won her eighth all-around championship at the U.S. gymnastics title. And this is, of course, we all remember in the 2020 Olympics, she withdrew because she had the twisties. And the twisties is when you're in the air as a gymnast, mm-hmm. whether vaulting or on floor, tumbling or bars, where you lose your sense of presence, right? You don't, your body and your mind are disconnected. And so at that point, they're the twisties, and it's very, really unsafe. And she's the oldest gymnast ever at age 26. I mean, this woman is beyond the greatest of all times, right? Here, folks had thought 2020 Olympics, that's her last shot. She, quote unquote, you know, was deemed to be not successful because she withdrew early, you know, and not competed the four events. And then she comes back at age 26 to do this all again.
That, you know how we say in my neighborhood, we say, hey, we out here.
She was out kind of way.
I've had this issue. It came up with Coco Gauff. We heard it all the time with Serena. We heard it when Naomi Osaka won. And there is this interesting thing that was happening. And I'm so glad that Coco said what she said in those first news conferences, because right after she won, the commentator spent a split second going, and there she is, she won, and then immediately pivoted to, and you know what I like about, you know what I like about Coco Gauff? And I was like, you better not say it. My son can tell you, we were sitting together, and I was like, you better not say it. And she goes, I just love how humble she is. Oh, and geez. I'm like, yeah, whether she's humble or not, right? The moment athletes of color show any kind of, yes, I'm here, yes, I'm good at what I do, and stand behind it or show any kind of confidence or any of that stuff, they get all of these explainers, right? And we have the reverse of that where folks will comment on all the things that comfort white sensibilities. And you can't be proud and boisterous and like confident and stuff in this space. And so they got everything to say when you show up, like, we out here, right? You know, as a sprinter, as a gymnast, like, you don't do those things with timidity. You go for it. These sports are designed. All out sprint is not a thing for you to sit humbly by. You grab your skill and you move through. And she hasn't never been not humble. She's been confident. And yet people want to admonish and use folks against each other. So I love the same commentator because she had to comment on the after Coco's words and couldn't, it removed the ability to do this project where you try to make particularly athletes of color, particularly black athletes, try to
black
admonish
women.
Black women.
Female athletes. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
This is Counter Stories. You're listening to a special rerun of our September 2023 Grab Bag episode. I'm Haleeli, with co-hosts Anthony Galloway, Luz Maria Frias, and the late Donald Eubanks. This show is supported by AMPERS and the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Find us online at counterstories.com and on our Facebook and Instagram.
The themes, you know, the themes that come up with that, the self-doubt that we hear, I mean, not only and for them, it's public. So we see it playing out. Mm. We saw it play out. I remember when Simone withdrew from some of the events and all the doubt it came along with it, you know, all the negativity that was directed her way. And then for her to come back now, And not only come back and dominate, but being one of the older athletes, older, and I say that with humor on my face, because how old is she? 20. How old is she?
26.
26 years
she's
old.
The oldest. She's the oldest.
You know, she's just, she's finally old enough to rent a rent a car, right?
That is one of the oldest things I've heard you say, Don.
And but I'm just saying, you know, but it's, but as people of color, as folks of color, those are the things that we deal with day in and day out as communities. What we see play out with these athletes are things that we have to deal with day in and day out in our jobs. Everywhere we go, we are cast with that same self-doubt. I mean, how many times have we shared those stories? I know I was told, my dad taught me that in order for me to be successful, I'm going to have to do something twice as well as the white person next to me to even be on the same level. Yeah, I mean, that's just something that I think we all heard, or many of us heard, growing up. So that's that same self-doubt, I think, is things that we've had to deal with in all our professional lives, just in our day-to-day life. I mean, when we look across the board, I mean, right now we're dealing with legislation that's telling us that we can't teach our history, right? We're dealing with efforts to ban books that point out who we are, that talk about our communities. They're banning our books. They're banning our history. They're, you know, they're doing every the things that are happening in this country, I think, speak to that even beyond what we saw with those three athletes. And then, and even Deion Sanders, right? We saw that play out, you know, with Deion. So I think this is a great topic because I think we all can relate to it.
Well, not only can we relate to it, Don, but it also serves to inspire all of us, right? To say we can begin to just re-energize ourselves, recharge ourselves when we see that level of success, grit, determination, and perseverance, and ultimately success, right? Because it's really easy to kind of begin to shrink in yourself, thinking and doubting yourself, right? And listening to all the negative messaging that comes your way. But it's these moments of victory, these shiny moments of taking control of the narrative and not letting anyone else define who you are and what your success will look like but yourself. And to do so on an international platform. I mean, all three of these athletes that I mentioned are all on an international platform. And I think that will really help so many of us, I think, myself included, remain energized, you know, and looking forward to debunking all the negative stereotypes and messaging that's out there.
Well, you know, that's what makes the wins so powerful for folks. I mean, we saw it when Suni Lee won gold, and we finally had folks being able to see themselves. It's almost like vindication for a lot of these things that are heaped on you. And in the context of several wins, I mean, the superintendent I think it was Yvonne Stokes in Hamilton Southeastern Schools in, I believe it's Indiana, was forced out. And it's one of the comments that was made, because the school board who was elected in the last election came in and ousted this person because of her opposition to the banning of certain content in schools, which a lot of the folks in the platform ran on. And they ousted this woman. And so you got so many examples around. And I just put that up as an example of the ways in which people of color are often ousted out of positions, whether it's political whims, whether it's because you make certain parents uncomfortable in the school situation here. You know, there's all of these reasons why you are criticized, ridiculed, you talked about, you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. If you show up too strong, you don't show up strong enough. You get hired for positions that ain't have nothing to do with like your talent and skill set just because somebody want to check a box. And then when you're unsuccessful, they blame you. So you've got loss after loss after loss of all these things of folks who have pushed and pushed and pushed. So when you see an athlete wreck come in, fully skilled, talented, and wreck shop, it's much more than just, hey, this person won. There's a lot more that that person vindicates for you.
This is Counterstories. You're listening to a special rerun of our September 2023 Grab Bag episode. I'm Haleigh, with co-hosts Anthony Galloway, Luz Maria Frias, and the late Donald Eubanks. This show is supported by AMPERS and the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Find us online at counterstories.com and on our Facebook and Instagram. I also really just, I mean, Coco Gauff just amazes me on so many different levels. She collected her $3 million check and she, you know, gave props to those who came before her. To tennis legend Billie Jean King, who was one who fought for equal pay for female athletes in tennis. And she just seems like somebody who knows the history of the sport that she's playing, knows the people who came before her. And she's so young, and to be so insightful and talented, like, I'm just overly amazed by her, period, altogether, just amazed. And also, as we talk about athletes and Minnesota athletes, Adrian Peterson is going to be on Dancing with the Stars. So, you know, we got that.
You're going to go all the way to Dancing with the Stars. We were just happy about all the wins. And now you're going to bring up AP on Dancing with the Stars.
He might win Dancing with the Stars. We never know.
Yeah.
He might win.
Based on what? Based on what? I have a feeling.
I mean,
this is going humble.
Minnesota was just a bus stop for AP. Because he's not from Minnesota.
Yeah. I have a better athletic win.
That's funny.
Can we talk about can we add another win column? Because I just don't have a lot of hope for AP on Dancing with the Stars. Sorry, AP, but I gotta see it.
You might be eating your words a couple of months from now, Anthony. You realize that.
I am happy to do it. I live a life out here that's ready to be able to eat my words, and I ain't got no problem with it.
A platter of curls to eat. Don may be eating a platter of curls.
Hey,
just give me some hot sauce.
There you go. Thank you, Don. I'm here for it. But I ain't never scared of eating no curl. But, you know, folks will often ask that question, why you get so excited about sports? I was sitting at the dinner table and a family member had said, you know, I think we're too invested in basketball. We're too invested in all these different things. You know, kids need to do other things. I got to add, you know, these are the same folks who, when Cassius Clay changed his name to Muhammad Ali and was knocking folks left and right, I got stories and in some cases pictures and in some cases audio recording of some of the same folks who will ask the question, why are we so focused on athletes, who were shouting to the moon when Cassius Clay was coming up in there and knocking fools out. So, you know, I just think it's important to note that there is a lot more riding on some of the wins in any kind of way. But some of these wins where you get to be skilled, audacious, and handle your business and then deliver, is just a really good story that definitely gives a whole lot of folks joy. But we also got Brother Deion Sanders coming on to head University of Colorado Boulder. And they're two games in, and so far, so good. But Don, you telling us to wait a little bit?
Well, I mean, I don't get me wrong. I watch both games.
For sure.
All right? There's no way I was going to miss the Colorado-Nebraska game because they were playing a team in the Big Ten. Now, you know, Nebraska's heyday was decades ago, but, you know, they're rebuilding. They have a new coach. He's rebuilding that team. And Deion is a new coach, and he's rebuilding his team. But I think when you examine those two coaches and how they are going about rebuilding that team, Deion did a complete 180 and brought in all new athletes. And his son is absolutely incredible. I mean, his son in two games is just is kind of rewriting what it is to be a quarterback, a young black quarterback in college. But Deion's approach was to build that team right now. The coach at Nebraska is doing it, I guess, more of the old-fashioned traditional way by recruiting students and then having to develop them in 2 or 3 years. And that seems to be the traditional way. So I'm excited for Deion for what he's accomplished. What I'm waiting for to see is if that product will remain and how they do against the meat of their, you know, the meat of their season that's coming up. So was it a two-game flash, or is this going to be a sustainable type approach? And for me, that's the only, I mean, because I think he's been quite successful, and Deion's Deion. Right. And I'm like everyone else, man. I watched that game because it was Deion, and I wanted to see he stepped up to big time to Colorado Division One in conferences, you know, and so everybody in the world, I think, was tuned into that. Like most of us were tuned in, and I'm just going sideways here a little bit, to Monday Night Football. Right. I mean, a lot of us tuned into that because Brett Favre left Green Bay and was taken over for the Jets. And so the Jets and the Bills were playing. And so you want to talk about, you know, just two different results, and then four plays into the game for Aaron Rodgers. And he suffers a Achilles tendon. He tore his Achilles tendon, man. And it didn't take much. I mean, when you look at that replay, so I don't know if that's, you know, I think age has a part to do with that. But, you know, so for the reactions, you know, the reactions were totally different. But you know, I think that I think Deion has done a fantastic job. I'm just looking to see if that will work for the longevity of that team. Do you understand what I'm saying? So
yeah. So I got you. And you know, I think it's smart to wait and see. And there's a whole lot of folks now who are sitting in the hope space. And what I wanted to bring forward in that is, you know, as we think about end of summer and we think about where we've been and we think about what moments of joy we can grab onto, some of that is rooted in being able to see, hey, this is looking good. I'm gonna, you know, for the first time, and I'm saying this. For real. I've had folks say for the first time, you know, that they've got some things to be hopeful for. And some of these wins and successes by these athletes of color are part of that repertoire.
Prime Time, or Coach Prime, as people are calling him now, right?
yep.
He's a nonconformist, right? And so there was a lot of negative messaging around him too, you know, around his ability and all the speculation that he was not going to succeed. And Don, you alluded to this. I mean, the way he recruited the athletes was also in a very non-traditional way. And folks were doubting his strategy. And he, you know, he proved them all wrong. And now he's got other coaches reassessing whether that old way is the only way or the best way. And let us not forget that Mr. You know, Prime Time also won, you know, or A, he won Super Bowl titles. We all know that. But he was in a number of World Series as well, you know, World Series. And he's the only athlete in the world to play both in the Super Bowl and the World Series. So, I mean, this guy is incredibly talented, but he's also an out-of-the-box thinker. And to me, that's big in leadership. You know, I've been in management for over 30 years. Having an out-of-the-box thinker will get you results that people typically don't even anticipate. And people will underestimate folks like that, including, you know, him very publicly. And he's proven them wrong.
See, that part right there, I mean, what all do you have to do, right? Like, there's a line in a movie that says lion, tigers, MFing unicorns. Don't nobody want to see a black man make it. Like there's a, this cat walked into high school and into college starring on basketball, baseball, and football teams. We forget this in this origin story.
That's right.
To the point where they had to figure out which sport he was gonna, they were gonna make him a star athlete in, right? And so he had the pick of the litter. But there was always this thing, and it's this motif that runs through these veiled references and stereotypes of athletes, right? If you succeed and excel as an athlete of color, then the next little veiled reference starts to become, you know, doubts or aspersions on your ability to be a thinker, to think strategy. Mm-hmm. It's a carryover of this Carl Linnaeus stereotypical view of the Africanus as ruled by animalistic instincts or caprice and is bestial in nature, this whole stereotype that comes in there. And so here you are, you have these folks who, right when he got into the coaching game, started to veil these little mm-hmm. references about his ability to be a strategic thinker, to do all these things. And then he had to show up and show out. How many other things do I got to prove before you give somebody their flowers, right?
The way he recruited and the fact that he succeeded at it, because he was recruiting for a program that went 1-11 the year before. Mm-hmm. So the fact he was able to recruit these athletes
for sure,
to a program who was dead last. I mean, that takes, I mean, you know, I'm thinking because, you know, I had that experience of going to recruiting with my son when he ended up playing football on a college level. Mm-hmm. And so I was sitting here just imagining having Deion Sanders sitting in the living room talking to my son about coming to Colorado to play football. And the fact that he succeeded at pulling these athletes in, I think talks tremendously to Deion, because you have moms and dads, and it's usually moms that are sitting in that, you know, I'm dead serious. You know, I happened to be in Fort Lauderdale for a meeting, and the University of Miami was recruiting my son. And so I had the opportunity to stop on campus there. Mm-hmm. And they took me around, they showed me around, they sat me down, but then they looked at me and they said, well, you know, Mr. Eubanks, we're happy you stopped, but we know your son's not coming here unless
mama signs off.
So that meant Deion convinced a lot of mothers that he was going to take care of those boys and bring them to a winning program. So, you know, I mean, so, and having seen that, you know, so that speaks tremendous, I think, amounts to the charisma that as Lewis calls, Prime has. So I'll be watching Colorado for the rest of the season. I've never watched a game by the Bisons prior to that.
Mm-hmm. It shows to the brilliance of the folks who are working on the ground on a lot of these issues. And sometimes we overlook all of the background work that happens with that. And I think that's Don, you just bring up another example for us to look at that brilliance. Regardless of how you're claiming the joy, I need us to remember we have autonomy and agency to be able to claim our joy. This has been Counter Stories. I'm Anthony Galloway, partner at the Dendros Group and pastor of St. Mark AME Church in Duluth, Minnesota.
I'm Luz Maria Frias, Deputy Attorney General with the state of Minnesota. Any opinions and statements I make are strictly my own and should not be associated with my employer.
And I'm Don Eubanks, member of the Mille Lacs Band of Ojibwe Indians and associate at Dendros Group.
I'm Holly Lee, owner of the Other Media Group, VP of Programming at Ampers, and Counter Stories producer.
This has been Counter Stories, a co-production of the Counter Stories crew and Ampers, diverse radio for Minnesota's communities, with support from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. For our full conversation, please visit counterstories.com.
You are listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI, 90.3 FM in Minneapolis, St. Paul, and around the world at KFAI.org. Non-commercial, community-powered radio. Support for this program comes from KFAI listener members and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.